Our scripture reading for this morning is from the very beginning of the first letter of John. It's a text that we don't hear from as much, but there's some wonderful stuff in this letter, and this chapter is no exception. So I read at the beginning of chapter 1. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In 1994, there was an earthquake in the Los Angeles area. It's known as the Northridge earthquake. I think it's where the epicenter was. And it was bad enough, and something really odd happened the night of that day when the earthquake happened. People called the local observatories. There's a number of them out in that area of California because the sky is clear. Well, maybe not so much in Los Angeles, but it's supposed to be anyway. And the reason they call these observatories is because the sky looked so different. And they couldn't figure out what it was. There were all sorts of shapes and light. And it just struck them as so strange. And the answer that the people at the various observatories got accustomed to saying was, well, all the lights are out, and what you're seeing is the Milky Way. They were seeing their own galaxy. And they were so accustomed to the light pollution. There's a new word for you. If you haven't heard that, you heard it here first. So that they couldn't see all of those lights. Now, if you've ever been in a more remote part of the country, for instance, where Anita and I were in New Hampshire, all you had to do was drive out of town a mile or so, and you could see, on a clear night, a sky that was absolutely full of stars. It was a marvelous sight. And that's one thing that I miss about that area, because down here we have all that light. You can see the glow, just a little bit of a glow from Hartford. It's not as big as it is in Los Angeles. I'm told that in Los Angeles you can see it 200 miles away. You can see the glow. And what that does is it obscures the lights that are already in the sky. Artificial light. I think we pretty much take light for granted when we have a storm, of course, and the power goes out. then we realize that we are more dependent and more interconnected than we had thought. But we take light for granted. We have artificial light. It extends our day. It allows us to work when it is dark or to do other things when it is dark. So think about the light in the sky. Just hold that thought. Light is very important. And when we think about God as being light, there's a lot that we can unpack. So with 1 John, it's cast as a letter, although it may actually not be a letter. It might be more of a sermon. Probably written about 100 AD, ostensibly by John, the beloved disciple of Jesus. Probably not by him, but it might have been written by somebody who knew John. It is written clearly by somebody who is familiar with the gospel according to John. There are a lot of themes that pop up in this letter. The commandment to love one another is very prominent in this letter. This image of God as light, Jesus calls himself the light of the world in John's gospel. So at the very least, this comes out of the community that had formed around John. So they may have, the person who wrote this may have known one of the disciples and somebody who experienced Jesus' ministry. So when the author is saying at the very beginning, we tell you about what we saw and what we heard and what we've touched with our hands, he's probably not saying literally that referring to the resurrected Christ, but instead how that resurrected Christ is made known in the community of faith. And that, the author could certainly say, they had seen and heard. So this may seem to be an odd text to come right after Easter, but there is a direct connection. Because the question that we always have is, now that with Easter over, although it's not over, we're in the season of Easter now. It's still white. The question is, now that Jesus has been raised, so what? What do we do? Well, the next big day, of course, is Pentecost, when we celebrate the beginning of the church. And in the lectionary, we find this series of texts from 1 John. We're going to look at several of them over the next month and a half or so, because they talk about just that. What is it that we're supposed to do with the resurrected Christ? What are we supposed to do? This letter focuses on what it is to be a Christian. And again, it picks up themes from the gospel according to John. Jesus is the word of life. God is love. God is light. Love one another. Let's focus on the light. Light is such an odd thing. I remember from high school science that the mystery of light is that it behaves at times like particles, and it also behaves like continual rays. It's a mysterious thing. And the light that we see, if it goes through a prism, explodes in colors. We get that rainbow of colors. And all that light is present. It's an amazing thing. Just in that one beam of light can be all of that color. And if we think about God as light, the question is, of course, well, what do we do with that light? Do we simply bask in it and enjoy it? Well, yes, that's part of it. But there's more to it than just that. And the author of John here gets to that. When we think about God as light, we can also think about what that light does. It illumines us and gives us the light that we need to walk. So if we say, as the author says, if you say that you have fellowship with God, but you walk in the dark, you're just kidding yourself. Walking in the dark is another metaphor that we find in the Gospel of John. Now, the definition of walking in the dark is going to vary depending on your vantage point. But really what it's about is about hypocrisy. If you say, to paraphrase, if you say that you are a Christian, yet the attitude that you have about other people is judgmental and negative, the author of this letter would say, you don't understand the gospel very well at all. And you are walking in the dark. Too many Christians, it seems, have forgotten about the teachings of Jesus, emphasizing love, reconciliation, and how to treat each other. When we say we're walking in the light, what we're doing is reflecting that light, the light of the world, in our actions. And it doesn't matter what you say. If your actions don't reflect that light, then it comes back to the old bromide that actions speak louder than words. You can say all you want how good a Christian you are, but if your actions don't show it, you may as well not say it at all. So the author here says that Christians who claim to be faithful, yet who see fear as a valid way to see the world, don't understand the gospel fully. And fear is something we see so much in the U.S. here. Fear of Muslims, fear of immigrants. Fear of anybody who is different than straight white men. Fear that causes us to stockpile weapons. A fear that causes us to claim, not us, but some, to claim that the U.S. Constitution is divinely inspired. All that fear in which we build a fortress around ourselves. Friends, the Christian community is not to be built on fear and darkness. It's to be built on the foundation of the resurrected Christ, on that light. In this day and age, it's a little bit difficult to imagine what a community is. In fact, the word community has really been changed in the last generation. It used to be when you talked about a community, it would be a group of people in proximity to one another. So Rocky Hill would have there would be a community of Rocky Hill, not just a town, but all the various institutions that went along with that. But now we're more disparate. We talk about online communities, which can be very valuable and can offer people support. So when we think about community, it's a little harder sometimes to define what a community is. What should a community be like? It should reflect that light of the world. So this is a community. This is a fellowship, as 1 John would tell us. And what happens here is not by accident. It is created. is created by God using our own resources. And you look at the fruits. The Easter offering that we took last Sunday, the last count that I have seen, and there may be more at this point, is over $2,300. Imagine that, to help the veterans' home make the lives of some of their residents more comfortable. That's what the church is to be about. In extreme contrast, there are those who call themselves Christians, yet clearly, I would say, do not understand the gospel. The extreme of course, the the favorite whipping boy would be the Westboro Baptist Church, which protests at military funerals, and which obsesses about homosexuality and what they see as alternative sexual orientations. Where's the fruit? The fruit of that is hatred, fear. Friends, what we are called to do is to reflect that light, not to reflect fear. There's already plenty of fear and hatred in the world. We are called to reflect light. And what Jesus calls us to do is to walk the same way that we talk, to make our actions match our words. So that we don't just talk about God's love, we do it. And by doing so, we bring that light out. Because we can obscure the light of God. Although it has a funny way of kind of sneaking out anyway. I think if 1 John were alive today, he would say, don't talk about the love of God and yet spout hatred and bigotry. Don't do it, because they don't go together. Walk in God's light, and we'll have fellowship together. We will. And as we view each other in the light of God, we can reflect that light, not obscure it, and bring healing and reconciliation to our world. Amen.